All right, and I think we're ready to go. So my name is Lance Olson. I'm a group program manager at Microsoft. I'm responsible for a project we call the Data Explorer and also OData. And I'm really excited to be able to talk to you today, to be here and spend some time walking through Data Explorer, what the project is, what we've done with it, and how you can make use of it. And I hope you'll like it. I want to spend a few slides setting context on why we built this, why we've built Data Explorer, and what this project's about, and the current state of the art. And then, really, we'll probably spend about 80% of the time in this session just doing hands-on work of using the product. So, to set this up a little bit, there are a few trends that contribute to the shift and the decision we made to really focus on helping people to acquire data and more easily make use of it and take advantage of it in their business. One of them is that we know that we're in the middle of a data explosion. We know the data is everywhere and increasing in size, and that is a competitive advantage for organizations. The more that an organization can take advantage of the information that it has access to, the more valuable the organization can become, the more of an impact you can make. This is not just a matter of the size of the data, although that is a key aspect, but it's also the diversity of the data. Data comes in all shapes and all sizes. Now it's all over the place. It's not just inside the network. It's not just outside the network. It's everywhere. So we have network boundaries. We have security boundaries. We have different shapes and sizes to deal with. And these other trends of cloud computing, cheap distributed processing just accelerate that shift. So the question then is, do we have a problem? So I want to ask here, does anyone here feel like they have a big data problem? All right, now let me ask another question. Does anybody feel like they have a data problem or challenges with data? All right, a few more, that's good. And that's funny, the reason I ask that two different ways is we often talk about big data, but really, the problem is just data in general. It can be small data. It can be lots of data. We talked about the rise in the amount of information. It's more and more data is even just born digitally, created digitally. We've also seen an explosion in the number of types. There's no single data type or format that rules the world. There are many different types and formats that we have to work with. So how do we come up with common ways to deal with those? And then this last aspect is, we as end users, we want more. We want to be able to control the data ourselves. We want access to the data. And there are a lot of barriers in the way today. And we're going to talk about things that we're doing to really eliminate those barriers, reduce the amount of effort it takes for end users to access, to discover, and make use of the data that they have. All right, so I want to spend a little bit of time just talking about the current state of the art. What do we have in Excel today for getting to data? And of course, there is, everyone knows, the data tab. We've all seen and loved the data tab. Data tab has been actually around for a decade or longer. It's quite mature now. It's got a lot of capabilities. I can go connect to Access databases. I can connect to tables and pull those in. I can connect to web. Now, has anybody recently used the From Web in Excel? A few, okay. And it's actually, like, we haven't done a lot with this. I think it shipped about 10 years ago, and the web's changed in the last 10 years. So some data works, but some data doesn't work that well when you try and bring it in. So we'll talk about what we're doing there. Then there's the text import wizard. That's actually really nice. It's got a lot of capability. I can go through a set of steps, I can pick formats, I can pick delimiters, set types. It's got some advanced capabilities. And then, of course, my favorite is From SQL Server. I specify the server name, I can pick among a bunch of tables, go through the tables and pick what I want. I can even go in and write queries. Then, of course, we have Power Pivot. Who here has used Power Pivot? Okay, great. So Power Pivot has the other data tab, which is another way to get data in because we had limitations in the amount of data you could put directly into a sheet. It's limited to 1 million rows. But Power Pivot, as you probably know, can handle much more than 1 million rows. It can handle millions, if not hundreds of millions of rows of data. And so we have ways to get data into Power Pivot. And that's when we started to see some newer investments in data acquisition. So we have SQL Server here. But this is where you begin to see the ability to start being able to filter the data and preview the values. You can go in and see what this looks like. But even with that, importing data and finding and making use of it really wasn't the top priority we had for Power Pivot. Power Pivot was really more, is really more for modeling the data once you have it in. There are more data sources that you can get to. Of course, each data source has its own independent experience that you go through. And that kind of leads me to one of the key, as I've worked on this stuff over the last maybe year and a half in this project, it kind of feels like data in the enterprise is like the internet was maybe 15 years ago. It's like you go to the, you know, we used to go to these websites that were like the Lycos catalog of all 500 sites on the internet. And you'd have to drill in through the categories and then pick the site that you wanted. And that site might be a Gopher link or an FTP link or an HTTP link, and your browser would do something different depending on which link you clicked on and what the type was. And as a user, you kind of had to know, you know, if it's an FTP link, I better not close the browser because that will kill the session. But if it's HTTP, it will keep it going. And that's kind of how the state of the art is today when we look at data in Excel. I've got all these different options, but they're all different. And I have to know protocols. I have to know queries. Languages, I have to know server names. And that really leads us, the last one, I can't forget this one, which is Microsoft Query, of course. Our good old friend, it's been around for a long time, many good memories, Microsoft Query. Does anyone here still use Microsoft Query or used it recently? Yeah, we got a few, good for you. I should have like an Xbox or something to hand out for you guys. All right, you can preview the data. Microsoft Query is a powerful tool. All right, so now let's switch over and talk about what does it mean to take all those experiences and say, all right, now let's look at those trends we talked about a few minutes ago, and how do we change data access? How do we change discovery and cleansing and shaping such that it works for today's modern data sources and modern demands that data has on us? This is really what led us to Data Explorer. So the mission for Data Explorer is to enable self-service. That means be driven by the end user, discovery of data, query, transformation, and mashup experiences for IWs through Excel and Power Pivot. That's really the goal. As you'll see, what we're doing with the underlying engine, the technologies that you'll see today are more generalizable, and we will run them in other contexts. Data Explorer is the first context that we're running this in. We'll talk about that a little more as we go. There are really four main areas of functionality that we'll look at. There's discovery, which is how do we move from finding data where somebody tells me, here's the name of the server, go connect, type in this query, to a model where I can search and just find the data that I need. We're going to talk about how we make these experiences very interactive, so I can see the data as I filter, I can see the data as I preview. It works that way over any source of any size. That means we've rewritten all of the acquisition logic so that it's stream-based. You can work any of the data sources I'll show you. We can work against them of infinite size. There is no size limit to the amount of data you can work with. Obviously, you're limited by the physical characteristics of the machine that you're working on in terms of what data you pull in. But you can connect to and manipulate data of any size and still have it be fast because of the way we've approached that. We've also designed this to be consistent regardless of what type of data you work with. Hierarchical, structured data, unstructured data, semi-structured data. You'll see how very quickly I get into a consistent mode regardless of that. And one other thing that lets us do is if I as an end user can get a consistent view of the data and see it as a rectangular view of the data, then I can actually easily do joins across any of those data sources. So I can combine the data across any of the sources that you'll see here. And with that, That's the end of my slides for today's presentation. I hope you made it through okay. I hope it wasn't too boring to get this far in on slides. We're now going to switch over to products, and we're just going to walk through. And everything that I'll show you here is using the latest build of Data Explorer. It's in preview. Who here has used Data Explorer before, just so I know? Okay, great. You can download it from that link. If you want to download it now, feel free to. And you can follow along as we go. Try it out. And it requires Excel 2010 or Excel 2013. It's a free add-in that anybody can go install. It's in preview mode right now. And I can't say exactly when it's going to ship, but it is getting very close, I will say. We're going to go through, in the flow of the demos we'll go through three areas. I'll do a quick pass through the end-to-end experience of discovering and using data and then visualizing it. And then we'll spend some time going into different types of working with data, different ways you can manipulate it in the tool. And then we'll go through some more advanced scenarios that really bring all the pieces together. I'd like to pause at this point and ask, are there any questions so far in terms of what I covered? Questions about what we're going to do here? Great. Feel free, because this is just free-form demos, feel free to stop me at any time. If you see something that doesn't quite make sense, or if you want more information, just raise your hand and we'll stop and go through it. I've got more demos than we can cover in any one session, and so we can tailor that to whatever best fits the needs of this group. And if there are particular types of demos that you want to see or types of data that we haven't covered, you can ask me, and if I've got something for it, we'll go explore that space. And with that, I'll just start going through. So I'm going to switch over. One other thing I want to do is, the demos that we typically do in BI, they have these really nice models that we've already built. And you come in and you see, all these, cool things happening with the data that's already there. We show how you can visualize it. And the thing that we don't talk about is how we spent, 5 hours getting that data ready in the first place, and how we created all the relationships and got it just perfect so that the demo would work so well. So one of the principles I'm going to use for today is I'm starting with an empty desktop. And we'll start with a fresh instance of Excel with no data in it whatsoever, because the whole idea is about building cool stuff from scratch. So everything we'll do here today, other than a few cases where I think I pre-cooked a few things just so that we don't have to wait on the network for them, you can do from scratch, you can follow along, you can do it as we go. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to start up Excel. And you'll see here that we have the Data Explorer add-in installed. And the first thing I want to show is online search. So we really said, how do users find information today? Well, they use the search engine. So we want to do that same thing for data. Just like I can go into PowerPoint and I can search for clip art, I can go into Excel now with Data Explorer and I can search for data. So let's say I wanted to look for largest cities in Spain. Now, my team has done a bunch of work with our Windows Azure Data Market and with the Bing team to ingest a whole bunch of different reference data sets into this index that we're searching against. There are roughly 3 million data sets in the index right now, and we're adding more. If I search for Spain, I get back these results. I can hover over and preview the results. If I see one that I like, I can just click on it, and the data will be turned into a table and landed right into my spreadsheet. And that's how easy it is now with Data Explorer to get data into Excel. What do you guys think of that? Is that pretty cool compared to what you would do today, versus typing and kind of finding that and munging it? I think that's pretty exciting. All right, the next thing I want to do is, when you pull this data in, it still may not be in the form that you want. So we've added some tools for shaping that data. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to click on Filter and Shape. And we'll grab these columns here that I don't want anymore. And we'll remove them. And then maybe I want to rename this to be City. And rename this to be Region. And sometimes if I know I'm going to geocode the data, I might actually want to add a fully qualified column. So I'm going to go ahead and just insert a column. And I'm going to say city, but then I want to add to it, and I want to say comma Spain. And we'll call that location. Now, everything that I do here is actually kept as a set of steps. So all the transformations that I do, I can go back and forth. I can delete them or change them if I realize I made a mistake or if I want to do something different. It actually generates a script. We'll spend a little time looking at this under the covers. Most users won't ever deal with this. I'm showing it to you more so you kind of understand how it works. But the scripts are actually generated behind the scenes, and that allows us to be able to run those transformations in places other than Excel. We'll talk about cases where that might be interesting. All right, I've gone ahead and shaped that data. Now I can go ahead and pull it back into my spreadsheet. Now, what I really did was created a view over data. The source hasn't changed, just the view, the transformations have changed. That's important because it means that anytime the data gets updated, like let's say there's a new census with new numbers, I can just hit refresh, all my transformations will run again, and my data will get updated. If you've used Power Pivot, I can load the data directly into the Power Pivot data model here on the side. And I can also come in, and now this is Excel 2013 that I'm running now, and it has a feature called Power View, which lets you visualize data. And Power View works over data that's in a spreadsheet or in the data model. So I can come in now with the cities in Spain, and I can go ahead and let's do something fun with this. I'll grab population and location, and let's create a map. And let's add a little color. I don't know why we default to black and white on the maps. I'll move location into locations. And now let's grab region and make that be something that colors it. So on the way in, I was having this discussion to try and figure out, is Barcelona, what's the community Barcelona's in? And now I could see that it's in Catalonia. All right, so now with basically very little work, I was able to search, pull the data in, land it into the sheet, shape it so that it would work well for what I want to do, and then visualize the data on a map. And that's really the kind of the end-to-end experience we're going for, is one where you can find the data quickly, you can do what you need to in order to work with it, and sometimes that can be a pain today, so you can do it in a way that's automated, that's repeatable, so you can refresh the data, and then go ahead and visualize it. Who here has used Power View, by the way, just so I know how much time to spend on Power View? Okay, great. How about GeoFlow? Yeah? Okay, we'll do GeoFlow next. So the next thing I want to show is that's data that the data that I just pulled in is largest cities in Spain. Of course, we know Madrid is the largest city. Now let's look at something that's a little more dynamic. So if I go to data.gov and I click on data, I can come in here and I can get earthquakes. And, let me look just for earthquake. I get the worldwide earthquakes for the last 7 days. Get the text version of that. I can take this URL and copy it. And now I can go back into Data Explorer. And there are a number of different types of data that you can connect to from Data Explorer. There's from web, which we'll see in a minute, in addition to search. So what I first did was search, but now we're going to actually connect to some different sources. There's from files, so I can connect to Excel files, from CSV, XML. Text is really just a generic one for any kind of text, and there are a bunch of rules you can use inside to make this fit to the type of text you're working with. There's also import from folder. So like if you have a bunch of files sitting in a folder and you want to run a filter on and pick which files to work with, Excel will now bind to the folder itself and then extract the files, and you can drop new files in, and it will pull the data from those files and run the transformations on them. There's SQL Server, SQL Windows Azure DB, Access, and then a host of other well-known databases that you can get to. And then there are a bunch of other sources like a SharePoint list or an OData feed, a Hadoop server or HD Insight, which is Microsoft's Hadoop instance running in Azure, Active Directory, or even Facebook. And then there are ways that you can actually write your own query to connect to data sources. So let's start with web. We talked a little bit about this in the beginning, and I'll show you kind of how that's changed. So the first thing I'm going to do is take that earthquake URL that I just copied from the web page, and I paste that into from web, and here's my data. You can see that it's comma delimited, so the first thing I'll do is I'll say I want to split this by comma, and now I see the data all spread out. I can see what it looks like. You can see that the top is really a header, so I'm going to say use first row as headers, and that will promote that first row. Now I'm going to go do some other things to clean this up. I don't really want this ID or this version, and then there's some empty columns that came in with the data here, so we'll go ahead and just remove those. And I also can specify types, and this is a common problem I have when I'm pulling data in from different sources, especially text data. These are actually numbers, but the system doesn't know they're numbers, and so I can tell it, hey, let's go ahead and make these numbers. And then I can take this date time, and I can specify that I want this to actually be a date time. Now in this case, it looks like I got an error. So the date time didn't convert. So I can come back and say, I'm going to go remove that step. And I think why that is, actually I know that why it didn't convert is because of the way the UTC code is listed there. So I'm going to do another split. And I'm going to split on space this time, and we'll start at the right-hand side. And we'll pull that UTC out and remove it. Let me rename this back to date time. And now let's convert this type to a date time type. There we go. I want to make sure, I think I undid the conversion of these too, so I want to make sure these are numbers. All right. So now I've got this data cleaned up. Let's give it a name, earthquakes. Okay, so now we've gone from that link that was up on the site. That's a live link, so you'll notice that we have data that is coming in. There was earthquake activity that was as recent as maybe 15 minutes ago that was recorded in this feed. So this is a very live feed. And now what I want to do is go into Geoflow. Geoflow is really good with, I'm going to load it into the model here. Geoflow is really good with data that is geographic, and especially data that has time series. So what I want to do now is kind of map this earthquake data onto the globe. So we'll pick my earthquake data. I'll get lat long. We'll map those. Let's change the theme a little bit to something that shows the data a little easier. Add some, you can see there's all kinds of activity kind of on the edges of the continents. But I can't really see yet. I can't really see the magnitude. So let's grab that and put that in the height. And let's turn off aggregation. Let's also add maybe the region as a category. And then since I have the time information that I formatted, I can grab date time and pull that down here. And now I can time code the data. Now, let's get rid of this. Make it a little bigger. I can zoom in on something like, there's a lot of activity up here in Alaska, and I can actually watch that play out. So I can see the activity as it takes place. So this is really going from an empty spreadsheet, connecting to a remote data source that's a live, refreshable source, formatting the data in a way that I want it so that I can bring it in and now visualize it and have it start to have meaning for me. And that's all without code. That's trying to get that really as fast as possible as an end user such that I can pull that in and start to make use and tell stories, get the information out of the data that I'm working with. What do you think of that? Pretty good? It's pretty fun, right? My team, my family actually really got sick of me running around putting things onto Geoflow for like the first week that we got this feature checked in. They were like, will you just knock it off? Dad, you're really annoying me with all this Geoflow stuff. All right, so that one was earthquake data. So we've looked at a couple examples that were unstructured data. Now let's switch over and look at something that's a little more structured. So I want to go to, I've got a site here that is the TechEd feed. So this is the OData feed for TechEd. I can go here and look at sessions, and this will pull down all the sessions for the this event. There's also an over or a base URL that lets me see the whole service. I'm going to grab that. Now this is more structured, so there's more information inside of one of these feeds. So I'm going to say from OData feed, and we'll paste it in here. And I know I'm going pretty fast through a bunch of this stuff, but this session will be recorded, so you can go back and if there are steps that you missed or said, hey, what do you do there? It's recorded. You can go back and watch it. So you'll notice a few different things with structured data. You notice that there are data sets now here on the side. This is the same experience you'll get if you connect to a relational store as well, because we've got more information, so we can make a better use of it. So let's go ahead and pick the sessions. And I can come in and let me get rid of a few columns. So I'm going to highlight the session ID and the TID and the abstract. Let's get rid of a few more. And we'll remove those. All right. Now you'll notice there's a new little icon here. This is a relationship. So anytime we recognize a relationship between two sets within a structured source, Data Explorer provides a navigation property so you can expand those out. So I can see, okay, this is a track. So maybe I want the names of the track. Or the I can't remember if I did track or level. I did level. Okay, so there's the names of the level that I'm in. And I can filter out the nulls there so I can see, okay, here's a particular set. Maybe I want to do a filter on that and just show me the, you know, how many expert levels are there. And then I can also do things like session types or tracks for those levels. So maybe I want to do the names of the session. And we'll expand those. And now, actually, maybe I want to go back and open this up. I'll get rid of that step so that I see that for all the levels now. And let's go ahead and hide track. So now I've really done a join and flattened these two values into my data set. And I'm going to pull that in. Now I can take this and do some quick analysis over it. So I can pull in my sessions. I could say, let's do count of title. Let's do that by level type and level and session. Now let's, you know, insert a chart. And now I can quickly see, you know, the majority of breakout sessions are 300 level. Hands-on labs are split between advanced and intermediate. Keynotes are all intermediate or 200 level. So I can very quickly basically go from having this feed of this data to having now a visual so I can understand the data. So that's how we work with structured data. That's how we work with a database or with an OData feed. One other cool thing that we do with any of these structured sources is anything that can handle queries, Data Explorer actually pushes the queries back to those back-end servers. So the heavy lifting happens on the back-end in the server, not in the client, whenever possible. There's some cases like if you're doing a join across two web pages, it's going to pull the page down and do that join in memory. But hopefully, I can't imagine the web pages being so large that they fill up your, they overwhelm your client resources on the client side. All right, so that's a quick shot through some basic use cases. What I want to do now is switch over to something a little more advanced. And I've got this, who here has ever heard of Hans Rosling? The data, he's a data guru, he does TED Talks on data. So he's got this site called Gapminder. And inside of that, he's actually done many TED Talks on global trends in data and global economics. So I'm going to go to his site, and I thought it'd be kind of fun to take one of these talks that he's done that, you know, that's been worldwide recognized. He's done TED Talks on it, and see how long it would take us to go do some of that same analysis from scratch right here with Data Explorer. So I'm actually going to use the data sets that he's provided, and we'll go ahead and build something here. Let's start with, I want to look at health against against GDP per capita by population. So some nations, as they make more money, their body mass index goes up. Some nations, that doesn't happen. I want to see which nations are more fit, basically, as they increase in GDP. So the first thing we're going to do is get BMI. Let's see. And I'll just copy that URL. We'll go into Excel. And we'll use From Web again. All right, now Data Explorer has pulled this source down, and it's listed out all the data sets that it could find. You know, data is the one that we want. You can see here's the first column is headers again, so I'll go ahead and say use headers. Now, there's a common challenge that I have with this particular data set. As I look, does anyone see anything about this data that might make it hard to work with or hard to join against other sources? What do you think? What's that? Columns? That's... That's right. Instead of in lines, it's in columns. It's very annoying. It makes it very hard to work with. I can't do joins across it. So what we call that is the data's pivoted. It's been pulled up on the side. And because we run into that case a lot in Data Explorer, we've built an operation that lets me take columns like that and simply unpivot them. So now all the data is folded into a stream. That's a dynamic transformation that happens over the data. You like that? That's pretty cool. If you've ever had to struggle with data like that, this is another one of those features that just makes it way easier. So now I can come in and just say year, and I can say BMI, and we'll call this BMI. And now I want to set the types here as numbers. And we'll go ahead and pull that in. All right. Now, I'm going to apologize up front because we're going to have a little bit of repetition here as I pull the other two in. So you'll get to see that process really well. But we'll go fast to try and not make it take too long. So I want to go in and get, let's close these other ways down. We did BMI. Let's do for the next one GDP per capita. And we'll get income per person is what we want to get. So we'll grab that, and we'll come back in and grab the next feed. Here we go. Let's get the data. First row is headers again. We've got all these numbers. We'll go ahead and unpivot them. Now, one other thing I want to do here is the data itself that you saw, the years from the other feed, ended at 1980. So I want to normalize that. So when I go into year here for GDP, let's call that country. There are filters that are data specific. So I can say, because this is a number, I now have number filters. I can say, show me everything that's greater than or equal to 1980. Great. And we'll call this GDP. And we'll pull that in. All right, now let's go get our last one, which is going to be population. Here I've got total population. Get that shortcut. I know there's a lot of clicking going on through here, so I hope this doesn't look like it's too many things flying around too fast. Yeah, there's a question. Okay, so the question is, when I bring each of the data sets in, where are they persisted? Right now, I'm persisting them into the sheet itself. I can also persist them into the Power Pivot data model. It's going to be one of those two places or both of those places, depending on which I want. All right, let's go ahead and use headers. And you can see for population, there's a lot of data here, a lot of columns. So Data Explorer actually limits the amount that it brings into preview just so that it doesn't take a long time. Now we'll unpivot those. We'll say year, population, country. Make sure I made these as a number. All right. We made it. Sorry it took that long, but we've got all three data sets in now. So now what we need to do is merge these data sets. So I'm going to go start with BMI, and I'm going to say merge. And I'm going to pick GDP. And I'm going to control click on country, and then year, and then country, and then year. And Data Explorer will do an evaluation to make sure that it finds matches. And it will go ahead and bring those in. And what you see here is really just a join across those two sets. So now I can bring in year and GDP. I guess I didn't really need to bring year in since I already have it. I'll just bring in GDP. We'll get rid of that. All right, that's my first merge. And let's go ahead and bring in our second one. And that's really that's a left outer join that does, so you can filter for nulls. We are working on adding join options as well. Okay, so next we'll merge population into this data set. So we'll do country and year, country and year. Perfect. And let's expand out population. And let's go ahead and name this GDP, BMI, and population by country and year. Great. So now I've got my final data set, which has the country, the years, a join across my BMI, my GDP, and my population. Oh, I want to make sure I got all my types right. Looks like I do. And now we can go ahead and start having some fun with this. So let's go into Power View. Power View has a great little scatter chart that I can use to visualize this data. So we'll go in here, let's expand that. I'm going to start with, let's go BMI and GDP. Let's create a scatter chart. And let's add population as the size, country as the color. And now because I have year in here, I can do a play axis. All right, so let's go ahead and see. Now, so this is GDP here. So basically, body mass index goes to the right. GDP goes up. So basically, as things go up, you hope that they don't move to the right. If they move to the right, it means that as you're making more money, you're getting fatter. All right, so here we go. Now, this is actually worldwide. So there's a lot of data. There's a lot of moving parts going on here. So we can come and filter this down a little bit. Let's do a filter. And I want to filter on population. And let's narrow it down by a few. And now run it again. Now, no surprise, the United States is basically the fattest country in the world. But we didn't need to do this analysis to figure that out, did we? But there are some countries that are actually doing a great job with this. You can see that, you know, Japan, for example, as they move up, they're moving up in GDP, but managing to stay fairly low in BMI. And that's really what you want to see. Now, for fun, since this is, you know, Tech Ed Europe, I thought it'd be good to load, I preloaded one of these. I didn't want to make you have to watch me do the joins again, but I searched for EU members and then did a join so that we could have our own little BMI versus GDP competition right here with the EU and see how that does. Does anybody have any guesses as to who might be the fittest nations in the EU? What nations would be the fittest nations in the EU relative to GDP? What did somebody say? I thought I heard it right. The Finns? Well, we'll see. All right. Here we go. And they're off. So basically, as they're going higher, and I don't know what's going on with Luxembourg, as they go out to the right, they're following the same trend, so they're getting fatter. But these bottom right group, this group in the bottom right is really the group that you wanna emulate, and that is you've got the Netherlands here, you've got France and Denmark. I mean, all of these are basically countries that are managing to grow from a GDP perspective, but still stay relatively thin from a BMI perspective. So good job to those guys. Anybody here from France? No? Wow, I'm surprised. How about Netherlands? All right, we got the Netherlands. Okay. So good job. What did you guys think of that? That was pretty quick. We basically pulled data from three different sources, and now we're able to do this kind of analysis over it. Is that pretty good? How long would that take? Yeah. Can you imagine how long that would take you to do that just on your own? Like, I would be writing code to do that. I would have been breaking out scripts and parsing all that stuff and loading it into a database and doing joins over it to get it to that point. And part of that really gets to part of the goal that we're going for here. I will say that everything we're doing here in Excel, the reason I showed you the script part that runs behind that is because that is it's an extractable engine. So for example, if I took this report and I saved it to SharePoint Online, and I scheduled it to refresh on a regular basis, we would run that same set of transformations in the cloud on that data, and so it could repeat. And we can also do that in scale. Another common question I'll get is, well, can you do this in SSIS and run packages there? And we're also working on that, so that really what we want to make it possible is for end users to build transformations that bring data in, but then for the ones that become important, they can operationalize those transformations, and they can run them at scale, and they can even hand them over to IT and have them be factored in a way that's more industrial strength. And that we think that is great because it enables end users, enables us in our offices that have insight into the data to go ahead and gain that insight, but then do it in a way that can be scaled up when that becomes clear that that's relevant to the rest of the business. We find that oftentimes IT will like that as well, because then they don't waste their time trying to pick projects that might work out or might not. They can let things kind of prove themselves out and then pick the ones that are clearly going to be critical to the business. All right, so that's Gapminder. So now I've got a couple other fun ones I want to show you. We'll close that one down. And there are lots out on that site. I mean, he's got a ton of different things you can look at. If you look at population and GDP, you can really mix a lot of other fun stuff in there. Okay, so let's do, I really wanted to pick one that was European, but this page lent itself so well to the types of problems I wanted to solve that we're going to use it anyway. So what we have here is a list of airports in the United States. And these airports, this page is really made for human consumption. So you can see it says the state here, even though that's the city, and it goes all the way across. And then you've got, for each state, you've got a list of the airports in the city. So let's go ahead and say that we want to pull this list in. And I'm going to just say from web, paste that data in. And now the way we did the from web implementation is it actually runs, it hosts an instance of the browser and runs the page. And that way, if the page is using AJAX or any other techniques to asynchronously fetch the data, it will bring it all in. And now it's a difference to what we have today in Excel for from web, and that's why some pages don't work in the current experience in Excel. We then take all the tables or all the structured data that we can recognize through that page and factor that into these tables that you see here on the left-hand side. So you can just kind of basically point it at a page and then click on it, and you'll see all the structured data that we were able to extract. Yes? So the question is, what authentication methods does it support? It supports a basic auth, digest, SSL. If you're doing forms-based auth, we don't have support for forms yet. So that's the one thing that I want to get in there yet, but it's not in there right now. Great. So here we can see we have city Alabama is listed as a city, even though that's a state. And it results in nulls all the way across. So we really want to figure out how to clean this up. So the first thing I'm going to do is insert a new column. And I'm not going to spend today, I'm not going to have enough time to spend a lot of time on the language itself. You'll just get a taste for the language, but I'll show you where you can learn a lot more about that if you want. There's a lot of functionality that's in the underlying engine here. You can see that if a state was listed, that these other columns are actually listed as null. So what I'm going to do is insert a new column. And I'm going to say if, and then I'll pick one of those columns that is null. If FAA equals null, then I want to insert the city name into that column. Else, oops, I got two cities. Else null. Go ahead and hit OK. That will create a new column that's now got Alabama and each state name in it. So now the next thing I want to do is I want to come in here and add a function. And we have a series of functions that are made to be able to manipulate and transform the data. So everything you've seen today in the UX, in the user interface, goes back to a set of a function language that underlies this experience. And you can actually get at the functions directly. So here I'm going to do a function called table.fillDown. And we will put in the column that I just created custom. And what that will do is now take this column and fill down all the state names, Alabama. I'll rename this to be state. And let's drag it over next to city. And now I'm going to take these nulls, because I don't need those columns anymore, or those rows, and filter them out. And now I have a data set that's got the city name and the state name all loaded in. It's all dynamic. The transformations will work. Even if the data gets updated, it will still be refreshable, but it shows up in the way that I want it to. That gives you kind of an idea of some of the things I can do with text manipulation. I think I'll do, let's see, trying to decide which one to do next. We'll do one more. Let me do one that shows kind of the power of working with more messy data. So there's some data sets that are really hard to deal with because they don't really come in a format that that is workable for most people. One of those is quick facts. So this is a census data for the US, and I can go in and get census data for all the states, and it shows me things like population estimate, or if I want to, let's say I work like maybe in the transportation business, I might want to see who moved in or out over that period, over the last 2 years, what counties or what states had movement, had people either moving in or moving out. Maybe I want to do some kind of a target advertisement for people who are moving in because my business, you know, relates to transportation. So luckily, all this data is made available as a full data set. But when I click on it as an end user, I don't really get the best experience. It's kind of overwhelming, right? Like, here you go. Here's all the data. You just have at it, you know? So there you go. It kind of feels like you're in the Matrix or something with this. You know, maybe if I did some kind of a scrolling effect, that would help to kind of really drive it home for everybody. Okay, so let's, but don't worry. There's a data dictionary here which has all the definitions. Of course, that's in a separate file, and I can't really see, like, that data compared to the tops of the columns in the other field is, once again, the kind of thing that if I wanted to start working with that, there's a bunch of coding I would have to do. And then the last thing I have is the actual county information is all keyed off of this code here. So let's start with the data set. And let's pull that in. We'll start up a new instance of Excel. And this one is pretty straightforward. We can just do comma delimited to start. Move the headers. First row is headers. I know I'm going to join on FIPS code, so I want to make that into a number. And once again, I'll use pivot because I want to join across all of this data, or unpivot, actually. The other funny question we get when I show unpivot is people say, well, can you pivot? And the answer is no, we haven't added pivot yet. So that's coming like in the next couple months. But so right now you can unpivot. But I tell them, well, yeah, you can always unpivot. Once you've pivoted, you just delete that step. But that doesn't quite, it's not quite as satisfying as having pivot. So we'll add that. Measure. And then here's my value. And we'll call this quick facts data. Great. So now we got the data. So now comes the, I guess, the more interesting part, which is bringing in the, I guess I closed that. Let's go back and pull it up. Bringing in the data dictionary. Get back over to that page. So let's get the URL for the dictionary. Paste that in. All right, so here's just a bunch of garbage, right? I mean, it's not, there's no common way to delimit it. Luckily, though, it looks like there are numbers I can use to kind of delimit this off of a number. So I'm gonna get rid of this top column, this data item column. And I know this state codes is empty as well, so I'm going to get rid of that. And now I'm going to start separating this. I'm going to split this time by number of characters. So this first one looks like it's about, or I know that it's 9. And I want to start at the left side, and I just want to do 1. So that gives me these codes. I can trim it if there's extra space. Looks like I might have had an extra space in there, so we'll call this measure. Now, this next one, these are variable length. So, you know, just kind of eyeballing this, we'll do this by number of characters. I'm going to guess that that is somewhere around 106 characters in length. I don't know, is that what it looks like to everybody? Oh, come on, all right, yeah. So the way I did this the first time was I actually, you can just come in here and kind of, you can just guess. Like, so I said, oh, I think it's about 90. And I could see that I was off by a little, maybe 105. Okay, I can see there's still one space. So even when you are truly guessing, it's pretty simple because it goes back to that principle. We always want you to be able to see the data, see the transformations you're running over the data, so you can just manipulate it as you go. And if you guessed wrong, that's okay. You just back up. You can cancel. If you imported too much, you'll see that you've got too much coming down. You just hit stop. We've made all of the user interface to be fully asynchronous from the actual loading of the data, so the data never blocks. So if you made a bad decision, you just stop and you change it. And it's really designed to be very forgiving that way. All right, description. And I can see there's an extra space there, so I do want to trim this. And then the last thing I want is this value that says, is it an absolute or is it a percentage? So we'll do space. And I'm going to start from the right. No, start from the left. Just get 1. then I'll get rid of this. And this tells me what type of a measure it is. Okay, so now I got my dictionary. All right, great. Now the last thing I need is this FIPS information. This one'll be pretty fast. Let's go pull that in. And we'll split on space. Make this a number. Make this be a... actually, I want to do one more thing over. It looks like I've got some values here. I've got states, and I've got the state name, and then I've got the actual counties. And what I really want is the counties. So I could go through here and just unclick all the states, but that would take a long time. So let's do a transformation to get to clean that up. What I'll do is I'm actually going to... I'm going to go ahead and split on comma. And then anything that's null, I can get rid of. There. Now I have the county and the state. And if I wanted them together, I could just do this and say merge. And I could say custom and put like a comma space in there. And now I've got my cleaned up location. You know, I might even want to go in and say, since I'm gonna geocode this, I'll add comma space. Oh wait, no, I'll do it after. No, this is good. I'll stick with this. We'll see how it does. FIPS. Look, I've got it. I left an extra space on location. Oh, no, I got it. Okay, good. All right, now it's time to join. So I got my data. I'm going to merge in. I've got FIPS here. No, I want to do measure. And I want to go to my dictionary, and I want to do measure. And let's hope that they match. There they do. Good deal. I can now take that and expand out the description and the type. I can move those over so you can see kind of what you're working with. I can get rid of measure now since I don't need that value. So I got the values. I can see what type I'm dealing with. I got the description. All right, that's great. Now let's go ahead and add in the geographic information. So we'll let that finish. Looks like it's 162,000 rows. We merge that in with our FIPS data. Now, this is the first time I've used that source, and so as a security measure, the system actually requests what type, how much trust you give to that source, and that way when you're merging it in, it knows how to treat the source. All right, let's go ahead and put location in here. Now, some of these values actually, this is left outer join, so some of these values don't, some of these locations don't match, so I'm going to get rid of the nulls. And now I've got my quick facts data set. Let's give it some other name. Let's make sure these are numbers. And I don't need FIPS code anymore. Okay. So basically, I just pulled in. I went from, you know, three different types of data, three different data sets here, cross-joined them, got descriptions. Now I could go in and start visualizing this stuff. We could do some things in GeoFlow. I'm not going to do that right now just for the sake of time because it takes a little while for it to geocode those locations. But we'll have a little fun with this. We'll go in and just pick a few of these dimensions and put them on a map and see what they look like. So I want to go map this. Let's get to, let's do location and value. Put that on a map. And let's filter on the description. And now I can pick and say, you know, show me, let me put the location up here. I can say, show me, I think the one we were looking at was, wanted to see population movement. There we go. Oh, that's complete. Let's look at changes. Let's look at average household size just to start with. And now I can come in and drill in on a particular, let me, let's see, description, location, type. Maybe I want to go and drill in on a particular set of counties. You know, I can start to slice the data that way. So now I can look at household size, basically any of those dimensions across the map, across all those sets. So imagine how long it would take to go basically from this to this, where you now can pick the dimensions, you have absolute control over the data you're looking at, you can visualize it, you can lay it on the map, you can see and start to make decisions about it. You could also combine this with any data relevant to your business. So if you had a database that had sales information that was relative to household size, you could just point to that database, just like I did with the OData feed, pull that in and start overlaying that information on top of the data you just pulled down. All right, so do you feel like you've seen a lot of demos? I got a few more, but I want to just check to see if you have demo fatigue yet or if this is too many moving parts. Keep going. All right. Okay, I got a few more. This one is one of my favorites. We're going to do some more tricky stuff now. So it's time to get tricky. So put your tricky hat on. This one is box office results. So here I've got the annual domestic gross box office results for movies. And this is 6 pages worth of data. And the problem is I could go ahead and just bind to one of these pages, but I actually want all of the data across all of the pages as one data set. So that's what we're going to go do. So I'm going to grab the URL for this data, and we'll go ahead and point to that page. And we'll grab the table. And you can see here's all the data now. This is the second 100 items. You can see there's also some summary information at the bottom of each page. So I'm going to go ahead and just say I want to keep the top 100 rows. And that way I'll just get that first 100. Now I'm going to go ahead and we're going to look in the script here. I'll make this a little bigger so you can see the whole thing. And you can actually see that inside of that URL is the page number. And that's how the system's getting the page. So I'm going to write a function that says given page num, I want to execute the following function. And instead of that 2, I'm just going to pass page num in as a parameter. So I'm going to say, now you can go into the help system here and see there's a whole set of library transformation functions that will do numbers to text and text to number and things like that, date, time. So I'm going to use one of those now. I'm going to say number.toText, and I'm going to pass in page num. And I'm going to go ahead and say done. And so now I have a little function. So if I go ahead and invoke that function, it'll ask me what page I want. Let's say page 5. And so now I have page 5 loaded in. So now I have a dynamic system that can hit any of the pages that I want. Well, that's great. So now I can get the pages. So let's generalize it now so that we can get all the pages and concatenate them. So I'm actually going to go back and I'm going to delete that last function. where I invoked it with a page number, and I'm just going to save this as a function itself. I'll call it get pages or get page. And we'll actually leave this as a function in the system. And now we're going to go into the kind of the high, this is the scary, you know, deep bowels of Data Explorer. I'm going to write my own query. All right, so we'll just create a query from scratch. We'll say equals, and we'll do a number operator 1 through 6. That gives me a table of numbers. And now I want to insert a custom column in with that table that says call the function getPage and pass in the column field. And now what's happening is this, the engine is calling for each number that's there, it's passing that, it's calling that function we just created, and it's resolving that page. So it's getting each of the pages down, and now it's created them as a, it's created a relationship to those pages. So now these tables, each table represents a page that it found. So now I can just use the standard expand technique, and I can hide columns. And now I've just pulled down, let's go ahead and get this in here. And now I've just pulled down all 600 of the top movies from the year across all the pages. Isn't that cool? That's cool. I love it. Thanks. Question? So first question is, can you get data from a web service? Absolutely. So any HTTP endpoint, as long as it returns it in some format, like JSON or text, some format you can parse. We don't parse binary formats right now, but we're working on an improvement to the product that will allow you to do binary as well. Okay, second question is, I have to repeat these because they're recording, is it possible to write data back, or is this read only? And the answer is this is read only. So these really are about transformation consumption scenarios right now. And I know it'd be really cool if you could do all this and then push it back over. There are actually paths where we can pull the data in. I mentioned the transformation engine is something that we factored out of Excel. We actually built it independently of Excel and then put it in for this use case. But we did that so we can do things like server-side refresh in SharePoint. And we're looking at scenarios like I go build the transformation, and then I say output to database. And so in that sense, you could imagine workflows that result in running the transformations and then writing data back. But they're not necessarily doing updates and not today in Excel. This is just a read-only connection. All right, that's pretty cool. Pulls down pages. I think we got time for one more. I got 6 minutes, so let's do something. Let's do something really big. We haven't worked with really big data yet, so let's do that. This one is, and I'm just scratching the surface in terms of the number of things this you can do here. But I'm going to go ahead and connect to HD Insight. So HD Insight is Microsoft's instance of Hadoop running in Azure. So this is connecting to Azure right now, and there are a bunch of files up here that I'm connecting to. So I'm actually connecting to the HDFS file system. So all of these are files that are sitting up on Hadoop that have gone through some processing. And you can see I've got a bunch of different file types, and there are attributes on them that I could expand out, like the size of the files and what kind they are. There are also extensions. So the first thing I want to do is I'm going to filter down and just look at the CSV types for a minute. I won't have time to show it, but you should play with the JSON experience too. We've done a lot of work to make Data Explorer work really well with JSON. So if you point to any JSON API, it will shred all the data coming through JSON, even nested structures, and it'll allow you to flatten those out and create rectangular views over them. All right, so now I've got a bunch of stock data. I've got dividends, I've got daily prices, I've got this Hadoop Summit registration. So this filter really still isn't enough for what I want. So I'm going to go ahead and use one of the text filters to do a contains clause. I really just want to get the things that say daily in them so I can look at the daily stock quotes. And you can tell this is a lot of data because it's been the system basically broke it out on a key. So it's stock quotes that start with A. If we kind of peek into those, we can see that those are they follow this common scheme. They've got like the exchange, the symbol, the date, the price, open, price low, price high, price close, stock volume. And I can see these are ones that started with A, so they've probably been factored that way just because of the size. So now I'm going to back up, and if I look at the ones that start with B, I'm going to see they follow the same scheme. So this works. What I'm going to show you here actually works with folders, so that I said you could do from folders. This really works with any collection of files. What I've got here, and I don't know what we're going to call this thing. Right now, I call it the smasher. So this is the smasher. What the smasher does is it takes all the files that are in any location and it aggregates them, it smashes them together and treats them as one contiguous stream. So I'm going to go ahead and click on that. I've filtered down to this location. Any new files that get dropped in here will that match that filter criteria will get processed. And now this data just gets parsed out and loaded in as one contiguous stream. So even though I'm operating over hundreds of, maybe hundreds of megabytes, if not gigabytes of data, I can operate over that in one contiguous sequence. If I want to pull that data in, I can go ahead and just say OK. And now, right now, if we just sit there and let this run, it would ultimately overrun the capabilities of my machine. So I'm not going to let it do that. We'll just go ahead and stop it. And what I usually do is then filter and shape. All right, I've got less than 3 minutes left, so we actually got through a lot of the demos, all the ones I had. So that was pretty quick. Let's do a wrap-up here. I hope you had fun. I want to hit some of the related content. There's breakout sessions that are here. You can find them on the slides or listed. We have a demo in the demo station at the Data Insights booth where we can drill in on any particular other parts that you want to go look at. I will also be at the Ask the Experts tonight. Feel free to send me mail if you have any questions or feedback. There's also a little smiley or frown button inside of Data Explorer. If you send anything there, it goes straight to the team. So tell the team what you like or what you'd like to see if you try it out. If you try it out and like it, tell them that you like it. They're always happy. I think we get about 3% smiles, 97% frowns because it's people only take the time to send stuff when they want to send feedback. But it's also fun for them to see whenever you say the smiles are also great. Resources. If there's one thing I'd like to ask you to do from this session, is go try the product out. That's the best thing you can do. I think it's a great product. I think it's going to make a lot of difference for a lot of people in terms of working with data. And the best way for you to find that out is try it out yourself. So go to microsoft.com/BI and give it a try and send us your feedback. Please do fill out the session code if you liked this format, if you liked going through and doing the demos. I'd love to hear your feedback. If there are things we didn't cover that you'd like to see covered, I'd love to hear about that. So please do take the time to fill out the session code. With that, I've got a minute left. So I'll go ahead and wrap up, but I'll stay here on the side and answer any questions that you have. I hope you have a good rest of the time here at the conference, and thank you.